Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom Aleichem, Malchei HaSharet,
to someone in need of service.
Good evening, Yisrael family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarao of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll suggest that everyone grab your Bibles, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, all those things that are needed for great study. As we approach this Sabbath day, I hope that everyone has had a great week, but if you didn't, as one of my brothers say, the Sabbath is coming, so you can leave last week and enjoy the wonders of the Sabbath day. Start off with a brief prayer. Before I start the prayer, if anyone can hear me, if you can hear me clearly, just send me a shout out. Let me know. Thumbs up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. In the name of thy Son, Yahushua, we thank you for your loving kindness that you bestowed upon us throughout the course of this week. We thank thee for the lessons and the blessings that you've given us throughout the course of this week. We thank you for allowing us to be good stewards over your word. We thank thee for the loving kindness that you've shown us throughout the course of the week. We thank thee for the health and strength that you've given us throughout the course of the weekend, touching those who needed your touch to heal them and bring them to a better state. We just hope that in your healing efforts that they understand that you love them and brought them to another reality of him. Father, we thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, and all he has done for us. laying his life down for us and being that perfect example for us. Father, we ask of thee to continue to help us to keep our eyes focused on him and to understand that it's through his strength that we can accomplish all things. Father, we thank thee once again for loving us and helping us to love you too, through thy son, Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom, once again. I'm your host, Yara'al, Beth Yahweh Congregation, and we're going to do part two of how do you find a people who do not understand that they're lost. This is part two. In part one, we talked about empathy. As believers, we have to have a level of empathy in order to assist those who are lost, because we have to feel their situation and have to understand their situation, even if we haven't been in their situation. So I'm just going to go back over the definition for empathy so that, you know, you can keep that in mind as we get into today's lesson, because all these things that the Father has opened my eyes to bring to your attention are things that, you know, sometimes we overlook them. And just a reminder of what we need to do in order to be good stewards over his word, because it's more than just being able to quote scriptures and, you know, correct someone when we feel as though that they're doing wrong. But we also have to, as the, you know, when we talk about the clean animals, you know, one of the clean animals that he tell us that we can eat is the cow. And what he does is chews a cud, he talks the talk, he has a split hoof, and he walks the walk. But we have to be more than just talkers of the word. We have to be talkers of the word and doers of the word. And as we put this word in us, as we put Yahushua's spirit in us, because he's sending it to us, and as his spirit fills us up, we're supposed to be acting or working on his behalf and fulfilling what he has done and allowing his light to shine forth. And he's shown many examples throughout the word of his existence and interacting with humanity. And he's interacting with humanity through us, if we believe that. And he talked the talk and he walked the walk. And so we must do the same thing. But first we have to look in the mirror and analyze ourselves and make sure that we are doing what's right and allowing him to get rid of our imperfections. But sometimes he allows those imperfections to keep us humble. And we have to come to understand that one also. So we're going to go back over the definition of empathy. We came across, you know, three different types of empathy. And they all have something slightly different. We're going to go back to the definition of empathy, which was last week's lesson. And it's empathy, the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another or of either the past or present without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience in full communicated in an objective, explicit manner. So this is empathy. And we went over three types. We had cognitive empathy, which is the capacity to understand another's perspective or mental state, sometimes known as perspective taking or theory of mind. Then we had emotional empathy, and that's literally feeling others, other person's emotions. Then we had compassionate empathy, capacity to respond with the appropriate emotions to another's mental state. We feel their pain and take action to help. And this is empathy. These are three types of empathy. Now, we're going to get into today's lesson. And today's lesson is compassion. I'm going to start off with a few definitions in regards to compassion. And compassion is, and I looked this up in Webster's, and it says, compassion, a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Another definition for compassion goes beyond feelings of sympathy and empathy and puts them into action. This is compassion again. Then it says, true compassion goes beyond the understanding of another person's suffering. Compassionate people feel compelled to do something to help or relieve the suffering they are confronted with. Then I came across this article by that made reference of a gentleman by the name of Paul Ekman. The last name is spelled E-K-M-A-N. And he describes a taxonomy of compassion, and it includes emotional recognition, and that's knowing how another person feels. Emotional resonance, and that's feeling emotions another person feels. Then there's familial connection, that's caregiver, offspring. Then there's global compassion. Extends compassion to everyone in the world. Sentient compassion, extending compassion to other species. Then heroic compassion, compassion that comes with a risk. I didn't know what taxonomy means, and it means the study of the general principle of scientific classification. It says systematic. So it's just basically giving you systematic classification of the term compassion. So those are the Webster or Scholastic definition of compassion. But the next, you know, now we're going to go into the scriptures, and we're going to look at what the scriptures, how the scriptures describe compassion. So we're going to go to a number of scriptures today, a few different words that ultimately means compassion or has the definition of compassion. So we're going to go, we're going to start off in Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. And it reads, and he said, I shall cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I shall proclaim the name of Yahweh before you, and I shall favor him whom I favor, and shall have compassion on him whom I have compassion. And now this is, you know, dealing with Moshe or Moses and seeing the glory of Yahweh. And he's telling him this about him showing compassion on whom he chooses to show compassion. So compassion in this particular scripture is in your Hebrew concordance, in the Hebrew area of the concordance, is 7355, and that's rakam, and it means to love, have compassion. So from here, whenever you hear the word compassion, this is the definition for that particular word, for that compassion. Now we're going to go to Psalms 103, verse 13. And it reads, as a father has compassion for his children, so Yahweh has compassion for those who fear him. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And it reads, "And therefore, Yahweh shall wait to show you favor." In this scripture, the term favor is the same word for compassion. "And therefore, he shall be exalted and have compassion on you. For Yahweh is an Elohim of right ruling. Blessed are those who wait for him." From here, we're going to go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And it reads, "And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, on the day that I prepare a treasured possession, and I shall spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again see the difference between the righteous and the wrong, between one who serves Elohim and one who does not serve him." So we're going to go up to the word spare. And in this particular scripture, it means to have compassion, but it's 25:50. And it has a slight difference. You know, it means compassion, but, you know, it implies something different. And the definition for this word is to commiserate, by implication to spare, have compassion, have pity, or spare. Now, I looked the word up, commiserate, and it means to feel or express sorrow or compassion for. So now this is the second scripture that we've talked about in regards to children and how a parent deals with a child. First scripture we read, it was talking about how Yahweh, you know, shows compassion for those who fear him. He shows compassion. And then we get to this scripture again when it's talking about he's sparing those who are doing right and who are serving him. So from here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. And it reads, "What then shall we say? Unrighteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. For he said to Moshe, I shall favor whomever I favor, and I shall have compassion on whomever I have compassion." So this is Paul quoting Moshe in regards to compassion. So in this particular scripture, compassion in your Greek lexicon, is 36:27, and is akiro, and the definition, and I'm using the definition from the Help Word Study, and it means, and this is how they define it, properly, formed with deep sensitivity, compassion, and sympathy. Those two words are in parentheses. The term is only used of the Mighty One in the New Testament, and it's talking about in this particular scripture, which is Romans chapter 9, verse 15. So it's only really used like twice in the New Testament. So from here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read chapter 1. Verse 3-7. And bear in mind, we're dealing with compassion. And it reads, "Blessed be Yahweh and Father of our Master, Yahushua, the Messiah, the Father of compassion and Mighty One of all comfort, whom is comforting us and all our precious, enabling us to comfort those who are in every pressure, through the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by Elohim. Because as the suffering of the Messiah overflows in us, so our comfort also overflows through Messiah. And if we suffer pressure, it is for your comfort and deliverance, being worked out in enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort and deliverance. And our expectations for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are sharing in the suffering, so also in the comfort. So in this particular compassion, in this particular scripture, is 36:28, which is the next word after the compassion in Romans. And it is, and this word is, oikeirmos, and it means, and it's properly compassion, pity, deep feelings about someone's difficulty or misfortune. Then it has another definition. It says visceral compassion is used of the deep feelings of Mighty One has for all of us, and powerfully shows and share in those following him. This goes back to the scripture that we talked about earlier in regards to one who fears him. But ultimately, we're going to go back to last week's lesson in dealing with empathy. See, because last week we talked about the different experiences that Yahweh Elohim had with humanity. And through his experiences that he learned with humanity, he realized how he had to deal with humanity. It was a learning experience. And one of the things that we can glean from last week's lesson is he started interacting with men, and men were a mediator between him and other humans. And when he wanted to deal with these humans, he dealt with that mediator or that man that he chose to interact or intercede for him to get them in the proper mindset. As we've seen with Moshe, he interceded for the people. As we read in the scripture, he rose up a prophet. Why did he rise up a prophet? He rose up a prophet to bring humanity to an understanding of things that they were doing wrong as it pertained to Yahweh, giving them an opportunity to get themselves right before he came and dealt with them accordingly. So this is something that he learned as he interacted with humanity. Now, I looked the word up. I looked the word visceral. I looked it up, and it's an adjective, and it means felt in or as if in the internal organs of the body, deep, not intellectual, instinctive, unreasoning, dealing with crude or elemental emotions, earthly. And I looked the word crude up just to give, you know, an exam, because I was like, how are they using crude here? And it just means raw, you know, raw feelings. So be mindful of this as we go through this lesson and dealing with emotions and compassion. So from here, we're going to go to, I have this, these next group of scriptures. I have a title at the top of it, and it's the act of compassion of Yahushua. It's not all of it. This list of scriptures is not exhaustive, so it's just a few acts that that Yahushua showed compassion to humanity. And why? Because he felt their pain. He felt what they were going through. And because he had the ability to assist them and help them, that's what he did. He helped these people. And because he helped these people, others who looked upon him frowned upon his good deeds that he was doing for people. Why? Because ultimately he felt their pain. You know, like we said last week, when you empathize, yeah, you can empathize with a person. You can feel where they at, but you don't necessarily, sometimes you don't want to assist them. That's their situation. but you can empathize with them. But one of the things that we're going to learn that Yahushua did, he empathized with them and he helped them because he wanted to alleviate their misfortune. He wanted to alleviate their pain. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to go to verse 4 and 5. And it reads, "And Yahushua answered, saying to them, Go, report to Yochanan what you heard and see. Blind receiving sight, the lame walk, lepers are clean, and the deaf hear. Dead are raised up, and the poor are brought the good news." From here, we're going to go to Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And it reads, "And he went into the synagogue again. And a man who had a withered hand was there. And they were watching him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so as to accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, Get up to the middle. And he said to them, Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. And having looked around on them with displeasure, being grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as healthy as the other." See, we're going to stop here for a minute. Yahushua looked at these men who were questioning him, and he asked them a question. Isn't it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? These same men who were there to accuse him. And what did he do? He healed this man because it is good to do good on the Sabbath. And he seen that this man had an infirmity that he could help him get rid of. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 13. And it reads, "And he was teaching in one of the congregations on the Sabbath. And see, there was a woman having a weakened spirit 10 years and was bent over. And was unable to straighten up at all. And Yahushua, seeing her, called her near and said to her, Woman, you are loosened from your weakness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was straightened up and praised Elohim." Same thing, another situation. What was he doing? He was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, doing good on the Sabbath. John chapter 9, verse 5 through 7. And it says, and it reads, "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and applied the clay to the eyes of the blind man. And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Shiloh, which means sent. So he went and washed and came seeing." Now we're going to go to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. And it reads, And a leper came to him, calling upon him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you desire, you are able to make me clean." And Yahushua, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I desire it, be clean." This is just another example of how Yahushua felt the compassion for others. He empathized with their feelings. He empathized with what they were going through. And because he had the ability to do something, he did it. That's the same thing that we have to do. If we have the ability to do something, to help someone, we should help them. And we should genuinely help them because we choose to want to help them, not because we feel though we obligated. You want to genuinely help the person. What does the scripture say? The Father, like you're giving this help because you genuinely want to serve Yah. That's why you're doing it. You genuinely love Yahushua. That's why you're doing it. You're not doing it for the same reason why the Pharisees did the things that they did in their times, because they wanted to be seen by men. We don't want to be seen of men. We want the Father to acknowledge our doing. Why? How is he going to acknowledge it? By allowing you to be in a position to continue to help people. As Yahushua told Peter, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. That's what we're supposed to be doing in this day and time, taking care of his sheep. But we also have to be mindful of the three different jobs that we talked about in previous lessons, being a shepherd, farmer, and being a fisherman. Each of those jobs have different tasks that they must do in order for that seed to be planted. Each of them do something different in the ministry of the word of Yah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. And it reads, "And as they were going out, seeing, they brought to him a man, dumb and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb one spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, It was never seen like this in Israel." Another example. He allowed the dumb to speak. People marveled at it. And what did he do? He had the ability to help this man. He had the ability to remove these demons from this man. And it was the demons, as we can see, that was holding his tongue hostage. Luke chapter 22, verse 49 to 51. And it reads, "And those around him seeing what was about to take place as said to him, Master, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Yahushua answered, saying, This far, and touching his ear, he healed him." This scripture is talking about when the high priest came to take away Yahushua in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the people that was with him, his taught ones, one of them raised up a knife and struck another man on his own accord. And Yahushua healed that man. He healed that injured man. Why? Because he had the ability to do so. As we read in the scripture, Yahushua said, "If I wanted to, I could have had a whole legion of angels to come down and save me." But he chose not to do that. Why? Because he was sent here to lay his life down for us. And he understood that there was some cruelty that he was going to go through. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "Then Yahushua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tried by the devil. And after having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." The Father took me here because he wanted us to know that Yahushua felt hungry. I've been hungry before. Maybe some of you that's been out here in listening audience been hungry before. So that's a feeling. And this is a feeling that Yahushua felt. So he felt hunger. From here, we're going to go to chapter 14, verse 14 to 20. And it reads, "And when Yahushua came out, he saw a large crowd and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when evening came, his taught ones came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Dismiss the crowd so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves.' But Yahushua said to them, 'They do not need to go anywhere. Go away. Give them to eat yourselves.' And he said to him, and they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish.' And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the taught ones. And the taught ones gave the crowds. And all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the pieces left over, 12 baskets full." So up here, we're going to go back to the top. When we read the beginning of this, the lesson was given. He healed the people. He had compassion for them. And it was getting dark. And his taught ones wanted to dismiss them and send them off into the village so that they can find something to eat. But Yahushua had compassion for them and realizing that he had just given them spiritual food, so now he gave them physical food to satisfy their hunger. He satisfied their physical hunger, and he also satisfied their spiritual hunger. That's something that we also must do also. When we feed the people, we can feed the people both physical food and spiritual food so that they can get both of them. And as we read in the scripture, sometimes people, they just came to the Messiah because they wanted something to eat. And that's okay because he understood what they were going through. He understood that. And if you give a person freedom enough, eventually they will come and they will hear that word. And that word that they're constantly hearing will fill them up spiritually as well as physically. So now we're going to go to John chapter 11, verse 32 to 35. And it reads, "Miriam, therefore, when she came where Yahushua was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, 'Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Yahushua, therefore, when he saw her weeping and the Yahudim who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Master, come and see.' Yahushua wept." The Father took me to this scripture because he wanted us to know that Yahushua felt pain and cried. This is going back to that word that we talked about earlier, visceral, feeling pain internally. Your organs feeling it inside. Yahushua felt pain. Yahushua wept. Yahushua felt hunger. These are things that he felt. And so he understands these particular feelings. Not saying he doesn't understand any other feelings, but these are the feelings that the Father led me to let you know, that he felt hunger that he cried because he felt sorrowful for someone. He felt pain, and it troubled him. And that's the same thing for us. Because when we look out in the world and we see our brothers and sisters going through what they're going through, we feel that pain. We understand that pain. We know that we are just one, you know, one paycheck away from being where they are. You know, we're one stop sign away from, you know, one vehicle violation away from being a victim. We understand their pain, but we understand also that Yahushua laid his life down for us so that we can be good stewards over his word. We have made a commitment to his word. We have made a commitment to him. We have made a commitment to our Father. So let us be out there doing the will of our Father, being in the example of Yahushua, walking in the example of Yahushua, allowing the light of Yahushua to shine forth through us, and having the opportunity to help those who need help and genuinely wanting to help them because we have the ability to help them. And we can help them both physically and spiritually. That's what we signed up for. So, family, this is just the second part to how do you find the people who do not understand that they're lost? When you look in the mirror, these things also apply to us. We have to be empathetic with ourselves. We have to be compassionate to ourselves. We have to be compassionate and empathetic within our homes. You know, we have to do certain things in our homes before we can go out and do them somewhere else. Because if we go somewhere else and do these things and show this kindness and, you know, show this empathy, then we look like hypocrites to the people in our household. And we don't want to look like that. But then we have to understand that we are hypocrites. But that doesn't mean we have to practice being hypocrites. We have to practice being a righteous person, doing what the Father say we supposed to do, being obedient, because we understand what the consequences of being disobedient is. Like one of our teachers said, you are a criminal. Do you break the law, statutes, and judgments? Do you want to look in the mirror and see yourself as being a criminal, being a lawbreaker, being worthy of being locked up? And it's interesting, I used to work inside a prison. And it's interesting, people getting locked up for breaking the law, then they get inside the prison and break more law. It's interesting. Why? Because that is our nature. Our nature is to be disobedient. But we can rise above that nature through Yahushua, our Savior and our Redeemer, striving to be in his example and in his footsteps, walking in his shadow. Because we've learned that, I think it was some of the taught ones, they walk past people in their shadow, heal people. So we walking in the shadow of Yahushua, what are we going to be able to do? The same things that they did. do you believe? And that's the biggest question. Do you believe what thus saith Yahweh? Do you believe what thus saith Yahushua? Do you believe in what he said as far as his father was concerned? How he declared his father to us as humanity. So family, I'm going to conclude right here. Just a simple, simple lesson. As that's what the name of this segment is. Can it be that simple? Just some simple things that we can apply to our day-to-day life. Being a little more compassionate, being a little more empathetic. Because the Father is empathetic toward us. The Father is compassionate toward us. I'm going to end with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter into another Sabbath day. We ask of thee to bestow upon us your Sabbath blessing. We ask for thee to allow us to come a little closer to thy son, Yahushua. Give us another glimpse of your truth. We ask for thee to continue to cultivate our minds so that we can receive the seed of thy son, Yahushua. We ask for thee to continue to open our hearts, open our ears so that we can hear. Open our eyes so that we can perceive, and strengthen our limbs, our arms, and our legs so that we can work your word in our life. Father, we thank you for the blessing of life. We thank you for your healing spirit that you've sent out to our brothers and sisters who were not feeling well throughout the course of this week. We ask of thee to continue to heal them that are suffering. But ultimately, Father, we ask of thee to continue to open the eyes of Israel so that they can give you praise and give you honor through thy son, Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber. And may you continue to enjoy the wonders and the beauty of this Sabbath day. Shalom, Israel. And have a peaceful slumber.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him in? Why don't you let Savior, my friend. You'll find his absorbent light. You'll find his absorbent light. See him in the love. Your darkness will end. Within your heart, he'll abide. Within your heart, he'll abide.
Thank you.
surprise, oh Lord.